God started for the past 3 weeks. God started to speak to us about victory over the law of sin and death. Victory over the law of sin and death. In part one, we began to see the origin of sin. And we saw that sin did not start when Adam was created. Sin already existed before Adam was created. And we saw who he started with, iniquity, through Lucifer, who used to be one of the angels of God. He used to be one of the angels of God in Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, like we have heard. He rebelled against God. And God said iniquity was in his heart. And God said because of the iniquity that was in his heart, God cast him down to Sheol, to the lowest depth of the pit. And I told us that is when hell was created. And it was at that time that God instantly hell appeared. And hell was made because of this Satan that fell with his angels. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to go into that. And we went on to see that after he has fallen and God has cast him to the earth, God now created man for man to show forth his glory. But this same being, Lucifer, who was now Satan then, came into the garden and tempted Adam with the same temptation that he fell with. He said, what was his offense? Satan's offense was that he said, I will be like the Most High. Praise the Lord. I believe if you can get the message and listen to it. He said, I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt myself above the stars of God. He said, I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the far side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. When he came to man and tempted man, he said, God knows that in the day you eat of this, you will know good and evil. And then you will be like God. Exactly what was in his heart. Praise the Lord. And the moment, I remember I told us that in the spirit realm, there is a principle in the spirit realm. In the realm of the spirit, whoever you obey, you become a slave to whoever you obey. That is a spiritual law. So as long as everything was obeying God, they were slaves to God. And I told us God is a good slave master because he doesn't oppress us. Praise the Lord. And obedience, whoever you obey, determines who your master is. Even in your secular job, who you obey is your master. That is why your directors talk to you and you obey them. Praise the Lord. It's a spiritual principle that guides the physical as well. And so when Adam was obeying the enemy, he became a slave to him. Remember? And when he became a slave to the devil, you can't have two masters. Neither can you have two masters. You can only have one. That's what Jesus said. So the moment he submitted himself to the enemy, instantly he came out of the covering of the Lord. And when he submitted, I remember telling us, when he submitted to the enemy ejected the same nature that is in him. He put it instantly in Adam straight away. What was the same nature in Satan? Iniquity. What is iniquity? Iniquity is not fornication, adultery. Those are the fruits of iniquity. The word of God calls it the works of the flesh. Amen. But you cannot be delivered from the works of the flesh until you know the root and you deal with it. That is why John the Baptist came and he laid the axe to the root. But John the Baptist only put the axe there but could not cut the root. But the blood of Jesus was what finally cut it. Praise the Lord. And so, what's it called? When Satan came, that same nature, the same nature in him, which is iniquity, and I want to define iniquity because we have to know what iniquity is. I will tell us what iniquity is. Iniquity in a simple street man, layman's definition is this. I will. Self-will is iniquity. Self-will is called sin. S-I-N without an S. S-I-N with S, which is plural sins, those are the works of the flesh. Those are the things that bother us. Fornication, adultery, lying, witchcraft, covetousness, all those things. Those are sins. Those are the root, they come out of sin. The original sin itself is a force. Sin on its own is a personality. Are you understanding me? And so sin is a nature of Satan. I remember I told us that Satan is the first being in the entire universe to have that nature in him. This nature is what he transferred into Adam. Amen.
The moment Adam submitted to him, he got this. Adam became a self-willed being. And when he became a self-willed being, God said, "Dust you are, and to dust you shall what? Returned." Dust simply means living for yourself. Something that is earthly, living for the earth and of the earth alone, has nothing to do with God. Praise the Lord. And so this nature that was in Adam, so Adam has no choice. You know, if you have a nature, you can't control your nature. You are your nature. If you want to be delivered from your nature, the only way to be delivered from your nature is to die. Hallelujah. You can train yourself out of some habits, but you can't train yourself out of a nature. Nature, you want to stop a monkey from hopping from tree to tree, you just kill it because that is its nature. You can't stop a dog from barking because that is its nature. It became a nature. Sin is man's nature. Man automatically, if he comes to this earth, automatically has sin in him. And David said in Psalm 51, he said, "Behold, in sin my mother conceived me, in iniquity I have been brought up." Praise the Lord. And we saw in the book of Romans chapter 7, Paul also went through the same struggle in Romans 7. And I want us to look at this Romans chapter 7 from verse 15, which was last week. We began to see that Paul began to talk about, wait a minute, there is some things in my life that I never thought were there before. Hallelujah. He said, the evil that I ate, that is what I keep seeing myself doing. Hallelujah. I won't go over it. I'm just saying all this to connect with what we want to look at today. Romans chapter 7. And let me tell you this. What we are looking at has a link to every human experience. Until sin came into the garden, there was no need to sweat for bread. Until sin came into the garden, there was no possibility for man to die. Until sin came into the garden, there was no curse upon the earth. God said, and God blessed them and said to them, they were blessed. But when sin came, curses arrived, poverty arrived, diseases arrived. Are you understanding me? So the root of everything goes down to sin, which is S-I-N. And that is what Paul too was looking at in this place. Amen. I'll read verse 23 because we've looked at the former verse 15 before. He said, "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law in my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." Look at what he said. "Oh, wretched man I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Can you see this problem? "Oh, wretched man I am." In other words, let me tell you this. This was already, he's not talking as an unbeliever here. He was talking as a believer. I call it the believer struggle. He was talking as a believer here, but I want to say this to you. The problem started from Adam. Listen to me. Adam received that nature in him, and it was reproduced unto all men by the principle of birth. Say principle of birth. It was reproduced from one generation to another generation, from one generation to another generation. And because that is the nature of God, God said, "Your sins has kept you away from me." God cannot relate to that man. So God has to do something. So here we have a generation, a lineage of people born from Adam with the sin nature. Praise the Lord. So Christ had to come. Jesus Christ had to come to deal with the matter. Hallelujah. And Jesus dealt with it. How did Jesus do it? I told us how Jesus dealt with it. Jesus dealt with it by first living the right life, showing us the right thing to do. Satan, the original sinner, said, "I will ascend to heaven." The deliverer, when he came, he said, "I do nothing of my will, but what my Father does, I do." Praise the Lord. Are you getting me? Satan said, "I will exalt myself to heaven." When the new man came, he said, "I descended to the lowest part of the earth," depending on God to lift him up back to the place. Two different nature. Two different nature. This is why the way they live in the world, we cannot compare it here. The world said, you slap me, I slap you back. The kingdom said, you slap me, I turn the other cheek. Praise the Lord. Are you understanding me? Two different worlds entirely. One is coming from the enemy of God. Another one is coming from God. But the good news about Jesus Christ is that he is somebody who was not created by God, but he was born of God. Adam was created, but Jesus was born. Are you understanding me? So it was being born, it was something that the life, it came with the life of God. He came with something that is called the Zoe life. What makes God God is what Jesus came as a man. Amen. He was like God in man. The first man was like man, just having the breath of life. But this other one is God inside him, fully God in man, walking about. Now, listen to me, saints. That makes him different from every other man. Praise the Lord. So, you can see the reason why God said, the sins of your father visited unto generation, generation, and we use that all generations are going that there is one lineage and there is another new lineage that is coming. Now, even, listen to me, even after Paul got born again, Paul realized that he still was not delivered from this law of sin that was in the Adamic race. Praise the Lord. He was born again. In his spirit, he was born of God. Full of God. And I said, man is made of spirit, soul, and what? Body. Our being born again is that God gave birth to us. Being born again means you were given birth by God. Are you understanding me? How did I know that? Because that is what the word of God says. John chapter 1 verse 13. From verse 12 it says, but as many as received him, gave him what? The right to become son of God, who were not born of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but were born of what? God. That is why it's called born again. There can never be again except it has happened before. It has happened before naturally. It is happening again spiritually. Who is the one giving birth spiritually? It's God. So God, how can God give birth to you and give birth to unholiness? If God gives birth to unholiness, then he must be holy. He must be unholy. Because everything reproduces according to itself. So in Paul's spirit, everything was okay. But in his body, where did Paul got his body from? He got it from parental reproduction. Are you getting me? Paul's body, when you got born again, did your body change? No. Did your soul change? No. If you are thinking of smoking tobacco, you can be born again and still be thinking of smoking tobacco. Amen. And so, nothing changed, but something happened in your spirit. What happened in your spirit was that God's old person, God's spirit was zapped into your spirit, regenerated your spirit, and that is what we call the spiritual man. That is what we call the new man. That is what we call the man created according to God. Praise the Lord. Listen to me, saints. That one has nothing to do with you. That has to do with everything that Jesus Christ has done. You are full of God in your spirit, man. God is resident in there. Bible says your body is a temple of God. God didn't come there because you were a good person. God saved you by grace and came to you. But after God has come into you, he wants to live out of you a different life. Now, your own place with God now is to express this God that is already in this side of you out. Praise the Lord. And that is the struggle our brother or the apostle Paul began to see when he got born again. Praise the Lord. I told us, and for you to know that this is real, before Paul got born again, he said, do you know what? He said, if you are talking about the law of Moses, he said, I was blameless. He said, I obeyed every law. This was before he got born again. He said, I was blameless, totally blameless. But suddenly the one that was blameless instantly is saying that there is no good in him. What has happened? You know why? Because God has come in there. And by the time God comes into the spirit, the reality, the truth of who he really is in the flesh came to him. Praise the Lord. And so, but one thing I want us to hold in our mind is that what Paul was struggling with here was as a result of a generational impartation that nobody is free from. Listen to me. Are you getting me? That when we got born again, it is still in the body. Sin is still in the body. Self-will is still there. You can be born again and be full of yourself. You can be born again and commit fornication. There are many people born again and see yet they are homosexuals. There are people who are born again and they are still like, oh, if you see, the way they are is amazing. Praise the Lord. Now, what's happening is that are they born again? Yes. They have the Spirit of God in them? Yes. But one thing is that what is in their spirit is not expressed out of their soul. Praise the Lord. And Paul began to go further from there. And in chapter 8, he says something which I want to say. He said, there is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. Let me tell you, if you don't, I want to lay all this because my prayer is that we'll get the full liberty of what God is trying to do here. Paul says something in what we have learned before. He said, if I want to do the good of God and I can't do it, and the evil that I hate, I see that that's what me doing it. Paul said, it's no longer I, but sin that dwells in me, isn't it? He said, what? It's no longer I, but sin that deals in this body. Now, Paul realized that, so there is the eye of Paul that does not sin. There is the sin in the body that is in his body. Then Paul realized that for him, for the sin in the body, that sin, Jesus condemned that sin in the body. But as for him himself, he realized that he himself is born of God and is justified. Because if you look at what he said, Christ came. And God dealt with the problem. What the law could not do, God did. That is one thing believers today have to understand. What the law could not do, God did. For the Gentiles who were not born again before, what your tradition and your goodness could not do, God did. What the knowledge of good and evil you know could not do, because we were not under the law. Only the Jews were under the law. The law was not given to the Gentiles. We were living by conscience and by the knowledge of good and evil. And in our living by good and evil, our culture was even obeying the law. Because even though we didn't have the law written, but we have it in our hearts. We were doing things according to the law just based on, oh, it is good. It's not good to keep time wise with you. You get me? And yet we see ourselves working with the law. And what they're saying, whatever it is, whether law, culture, whatever it is, what those things could not do, God what? Did. God did it. How did God did it? He did it by sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Hallelujah. And Bible says when he did it, what did he do? I said when he came, he condemned sin in the flesh. That means though there might be sin in this body, but sin in the flesh is already condemned. Let me tell you. So if I walk according to the flesh, even if I don't sin, sin itself is speaking condemnation already. Because God has condemned it. God has put a condemnation, a seal on it. I bet as for those who are born in the spirit, they are already justified. Praise God. So our warfare now is not about us. Our warfare now is to know where to walk. Is to know how to manifest it out. That's why Paul said that. He said, those who do not walk according to the flesh, but those who walk according to the Spirit. That is where we need to. The question now is what does it mean to walk according to the flesh? Because that is the thing. We have seen all the facts. The whole of chapter 7, even from chapter 6, all of Hebrews, ended up in saying that we are free as believers, but the body is where the problem is. How can we now walk in that freedom? Paul now said the clause is those who do not walk after the flesh, but those who walk after the Spirit. So therefore, I must know what it means to walk according to the flesh. If I don't know it, I might still not be free. Just as Paul did not know it and he was not free until knowledge came and light was put on. Oh, Jesus, hello. Praise the Lord. He says, verse 4. I want to read verse 4. He said that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk. Might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Can you see? The righteous requirement of the law is fulfilled. In order for it to be fulfilled, God sent his Son. Amen. See, we might be sitting here not appreciating the what that statement, but if a Jewish man who gets born again is here, he will be rejoicing. You know why? Because he knows what it means to be under the law. Even though you two were under the law, but you just didn't know it. It wasn't a written code with to you. It was through your cultures and your tradition that you know before. But wherever it is, all of them, they are as filthy rags. That's what God said concerning righteousness. But God said the righteous requirement, that means the fulfillment. Every requirement means what you need to do to fulfill, what you need to do to obey, what you need to do to answer to. Everything that will make you fulfill what God is looking for, like in obeying the law, has been fulfilled. Praise the Lord. But only in those who walk according to the flesh, who walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. I'm pointing that again because it's very important for us to know what it means to walk according to the flesh and according to the Spirit. What does it mean? Look at verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh, what do? Set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So therefore, it is no longer about I, it is now a mind thing. A mind thing. Mind. Hallelujah. Are we understanding me? The person is set free, but you know what? As a person, it's not good enough. The person is set free, but for you to be able to manifest on the earth, you cannot manifest on this earth except with a soul. If you are not on this earth, maybe you can operate with a spirit in heaven. But when you are operating on earth, you need a soul to be able to operate on earth. Why do you have a body? Your body is only a house. That is two purposes a body is for. Body is for identifying you from somebody else, and secondly, as a house for the real you, which is the Spirit. What is the soul for? I told us last time, I said the soul, I always like to say it like this. The soul is like an interpreter. The soul, the purpose of the soul is to take, the Spirit is what gets message from God. The body should be what executes the will of God on earth. But the Spirit and the body don't understand themselves because they have different nature. Praise the Lord. Can this chair understand me? Why? It is non-living, I'm living. I remember I told us when I went to India, I was carrying the anointing, I was carrying the message, but I was useless without interpreter. It's like I was the Spirit, the people in India were the body, but my interpreter was the soul while I'm in India. If I go to Japan, somebody must be in Japan that understands me and understands the people. The soul can connect with the Spirit, can also connect with the body. How does the soul express what the Spirit is saying? What the Spirit is saying, when God speaks to you, God downloads his voice into your spirit. How did I know that? That Romans 8 verse 6 says, the Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God. Are you getting me? God downloads and communicates with your spirit. This is what I want you to do today. Your spirit now downloads through the conscience. Sorry, I'm don't mean to be technical, but it's the only one way I can do it. Through your conscience, downloads it into your mind. Say the mind. Your mind is like a storage compartment of your soul. All the mind does is to store knowledge. It stores knowledge. And once the knowledge gets into the mind, the knowledge in the mind begins to affect the emotion. In other words, it makes you to begin to desire. In your emotion is a desire. You desire. You begin to desire. Hallelujah. And as you desire, because you desire it, your will, which is where you say yes or no, where you make decision. Because you desire it, your will say, yes, I will do that. And the moment your will say yes, your body goes into action. Your brain receives the signals, and here you begin to obey God on earth. Praise the Lord. And as you obey God on earth, people are seeing the glory of God and say, wow, this is the glory of God. The way this person acts must be a child of God. The way this person does, what this person, I mean, you are doing this and it's manifesting. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. That is how it is. But what's happened is that before we got born again, our mind has been loaded with a lot of other things. Maybe you live your life for 29 years or 30 years. And then you got born again. For 30 good years, your mind has been loaded with different knowledge. At home, you grow up with knowledge. You went to school, you imparted with knowledge. Somebody told you, if you don't attend this kind of education, you are nobody. So therefore, when you become a Christian, all your Christianity is to attain that goal. And if you don't attain that goal, you are nobody. And when God is saying, look, hey, this is who you are in Christ Jesus, you will believe in the head. But as long as you have not attained what you believe makes you a person before, you still be doubting what God is saying concerning you. So there is a conflict of knowledge. There is something that is there already. That's why Jesus said, for us to be really great in the kingdom, we have to become like children. In other words, you know what a child doesn't know anything. Amen. How many of you would like to, this is an example now. How many of you here would like to eat naan bread? Put up your hand, naan bread. You like naan bread. How many like naan bread? Wave your hand, you like naan bread. Okay. When I said naan bread, how did you feel? You can see it. You can begin to desire it. Your mind can be, okay. Let me make another call. How many of you like to eat chapati? Put your hand on chapati. You know chapati? What is chapati? Oh, yeah. How did you know? No, you know something? The reason why I did that, because in India, they call it chapati and not naan bread in India. So that's why. Okay, let me give another example. How many of you would like to eat chakura chacha? Nobody. You know what? You don't know chakura chacha. But I know chakura chacha. You know what? Because I know it, I'm desiring it. You know what? Nobody can tempt you with karuka chacha. Say, oh, if you do this, I'll give you karuka chacha. Say, what's that? But if you do this, I'll give you naan bread. Really? And you are hungry before. Naan bread, you can obey that person. It pulls you to obedience because you know about it before. So it is a ground to make you obey or disobey. Because you have a knowledge of what it's like. But for children, they have no knowledge of anything. Amen. And when you get born again, God wants to decode every knowledge. Because as long as you are holding the former knowledge, when God comes with something, because you don't have the knowledge of the things of God, you are like what you are doing. Karuka chacha. You are saying. So God who comes in his feet, he speaks the language of God, speaks the things of God. It doesn't make sense to you. So the first assignment is to deal with our mindset. With that mind. Are you understanding me? It's to deal with the mind. But as for me, there is no problem. This is where a lot of people get it wrong. in what we call, is it Holy Ghost move or holiness movement, and then the grace movement. You find the grace movement, they know much about what we have in the spirit. It's all about what we have in the spirit. You are okay, you are complete, you are this and that, you cannot sin, Christ has done it all, you don't need anything anymore. And then you have this holiness side. Hey, it's all about what you do. Hey, don't even bother about in Christ. Just, hey, you have to be holy. Hey, you have to be holy. Oh, hey. And there are believers say, okay, I want to be holy, but I don't have, there is nothing. I feel incapable of being holy. Does God have a solution to this? Yes, only if we go back to the cross and go and study what happened at the cross, what Christ actually did for us. Then we'll begin to understand what holiness really is. And the key thing is the mind. Paul said, those that put their mind on the things of the flesh, they walk according to the flesh. And those that put their mind on the things of the spirit, walk according to the spirit. That is what you are already experiencing in your daily life. Somebody say, Jaguar S-type. I can begin to imagine it because there is a knowledge of it in my mind. But if the knowledge is not there, say it from here to there, it doesn't bother me. That is what was supposed to keep Adam away from sin. Do you now see why God told Adam, don't go for knowledge of good and evil? So that you have nothing there to compare. So every time I come, you'll just be yielding. Praise the Lord. So our target now is to get a renewal of our mind. I don't know for us who have read the Bible very well, but if you look at the Bible, the scriptures, every time Paul starts, he talks about what we have in Christ before he begins to talk about what we have to do. In Ephesians, he talks about this, who you are in Christ, this what Christ has done. From verse 4, he began to talk, now walk in lowliness, in righteousness. Husband, love your wife. Wife, submit to your husband. Children, do this. He began to talk about that. Amen. But before he talked about that, he first spoke about, in the book of Romans, again, this Romans, he started about the grace of God, everything. And from verse 10, so, and going to 12, he began to talk about the mind in verse 12. And after 12, he began to talk about how we ought to now walk in love and things, how do we care for one another. Praise the Lord. Because that is the order of God. Many of us, we jump to chapter 5 of Ephesians. We quickly want to love and do things, whereas what is in your mind is full of the world. Even God knows you can't obey him. All the tears we put on, Lord, I repent. From today, I will obey you. God will look into him and say, it's just emotional. Amen. And the key thing is to know what it means. What does it mean to walk in the flesh? Is to think about things of the flesh. I'm going to end on this note and we'll probably continue, because what are the things of the flesh that we meditate on? What are the things of the spirit that we meditate on? Are you getting me? So, pastor, to walk in the flesh, to live according to the flesh, means that my mind is on the things of the flesh. To live according to the spirit means that my mind is on the things of the spirit. Okay, let's go to the next question. Pastor, or Lord, let's say Lord, because he's just speaking through me. Lord, what are the things in the flesh that my mind can be on that I should begin to avoid? What are the things in the spirit? In Colossians 3, Paul also said, he says, since you are, let me read that, please, for us to get what I'm trying to say. Look at Colossians chapter 3. I want us to look at this thing, because God has told me that the situation in this atmosphere and in this world, it's like the disciples on the boat with the wind that was blowing. It will take those who have faith in Christ to really walk upon the water. And I'm not going to go this, but this is, God is trying to bring us to the place of faith. Faith means where you know you believe God for everything. And how can you believe God? You cannot believe somebody that you have this misunderstanding with. You can only believe somebody that you know everything is okay with you. I remember when I was still young, before I fight one of my friends, we're okay. But if I fight with any friend, instantly you don't speak to that friend. You begin to speak to the other friend. And then sometimes we'll be doing this like, please help me to tell him. And then what should I say? Tell him to be careful. Be careful of himself. That one say, he said, be careful. That one say, tell him. You know, when we are very little, I will be said, you know, if you are free with them before, you are no longer free. But the moment you settle your quarrel, you go back to the former relationship. You can say, oh, I need your comb today. Why? Because there is peace among you. Praise the Lord. Are you getting me? You cannot have faith until you settle the peace of God between you. And the enmity between man and God is sin. If we don't know the solution, we cannot get there. I'm telling you this. It is a foundation that no man, or hardly would anybody know, because it is called, and I'm not preaching on that, but when I'm preaching on that, you will understand, it's called the mystery of iniquity. A mystery of iniquity, which is already at work. But it's a mystery that the enemy would like to keep from everybody, to keep wanting to, but never attaining to. Praise the Lord. And we have to settle this score. Look at the way God spoke here. Look at the way the Holy Spirit spoke. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ. So it's not that. He said this being raised with Christ, if that has happened, what should be the next thing? Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not things on earth. Why? Because you died. Say, I died. Because you died and your life is sitting with Christ in God. That is a fact, a statement. It is not an opinion-seeking statement. He's saying to you, this is the reality. The reality is that you died, your life is hidden with Christ, and because of that, seek those things that are above. Let your mind now begin to make sure that since this is where you are, since this is who you are, now let us begin to deal with the mind and make sure the mind is where that place is. Praise the Lord. And the things of the flesh. I'll just give a clue here, and we'll probably look at some of them more next week. But let me give us a clue. Philippians chapter 3. I don't want to set my mind on things of the flesh. What is the things of the flesh? Amen. What we think is that we don't want to set our minds on the works of the flesh. It is a good thing. It is good not to set your mind on works of the flesh. But even if you do that, you've always seen that there is always a struggle still yet. Amen. Things of the flesh. Things of the flesh. The things of the flesh has to do with the things of identity. Say identity. The things of the spirit has to do with things of identity. Things of the spirit. In the spirit. In the flesh. Philippians chapter 3 verse 3 says, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the spirit. This is who we are. We are in the spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. What is Paul doing? Paul is doing what he said in Romans 8. He's trying to put his mind on the things of the spirit. He's trying to abort and neglect the things of the flesh. He said, beware of dogs. In other words, those who come and eat you up. Beware of them, evil workers. Beware of mutilators, those who do not have faith. Be careful. Why? Because if you are not careful, they can draw you into the flesh. He said, for we are the circumcision. I won't go into that. Who worship God in the spirit? What is God looking for? He's been seeking for those who worship him in spirit and in truth. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. We don't have confidence in the flesh. And Paul began to tell us what is the flesh that he doesn't have confidence in anymore. Praise the Lord. And as we look at you, we find that I can say it in one way. Flesh is just an identification. Identity. Praise God. Everybody say identity. It's identity. This is where this is why we see deliverance ministers. Sometimes they'll be doing deliverance and they'll be saying, where did you come from? Who are you? What have you been through? Whatever it is. Okay, let's get off that far together. Let's deal with that. That is good. It's a good starting point. But I always tell people, let's do it the way Paul did it. Instead of dealing them part by part, let's just, we repair, break, we pray window today. And we have an opportunity to have a new car. Why not go for the new car? Rather than doing maintenance. Then he said, though I might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. You know what Paul is saying? My flesh was better than any other flesh. My flesh was something that I can brag of. My flesh was something that is more than you. In other words, I had 10 million. I was richer than everybody. So if I can lay down my 10 million, you should be able to lay down your 1,000. If I can count 10 million as rubbish because of Christ, you should be able to easily leave, because it's writing to the Gentiles. It's not writing to Jews. It's writing to Philippi, people who were Gentiles. And was telling them, look here, some of you are boasting in the flesh. I have more confidence in the flesh, but my flesh spiritually is better than your flesh. He said, let me tell you how better my flesh is. My flesh was a flesh that was circumcised the 8th day. I was of the stock of Israel. Remember, we are the covenant people of God. We saw God on the mountain. God called us out. We saw the fire. We've seen the Red Sea parted. I can brag according to the flesh for my own identity. He said, I was of tribe of Benjamin. Concerning the law, I was blameless. In other words, are you saying that you are good? You know how to behave well? You greet your mother every day? You know, don't abuse father? You don't abuse mother? Paul said, that one, I am even more than all of you. In terms of goodness, above everybody. Concerning Pharisee, he said, I was a Pharisee over Pharisee, which was true. Paul was trained under a strong and good teacher, respected in Israel. But Paul said, all these things, I count them as rubbish. The right word was dung, which means poo. He said, they are rubbish. Why? So that I may gain Christ. So the things of the flesh are the things that Paul listed there. And Paul said that those who do not walk in the reality of what they were before, they walk in the reality of what they are now. What is the things of the Spirit? I'm rushing. The things of the Spirit, I will easily say to you. By one Spirit, have you been baptized into what? One body. Whether Jew or Greek, slave or free. By one Spirit, you were put into where? One. But whose body? The body of Christ. So, as many as been put into Christ, have put on Christ. So, Christ is now. You cannot say you are walking in the Spirit, and the Spirit put you somewhere, and you keep jumping out, and you say you are walking in the Spirit. I am the Spirit. I say, oh, you have not come to me. Oh, come to my home. Boom, in Christ. And you are jumping out. Palam. And you say, I'm in the Spirit. I'm in the Spirit. I'm in the Spirit. No. You, where the Spirit pulls you must be where what it means to walk in the Spirit. And walking in the Spirit is simply walking in the identification of who we are in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. For every unholy act you out, is because that whole unholiness is already in your mind. You have a knowledge of it. Praise the Lord. That is why if we love our children, don't let them watch too much television. Because the more they watch those soap operas, they see all these people kissing and dressing out naked. They might not do it in front of you, but something is going into their mind. A day will come, Satan will present the same thing to them. But because it is in their mind, they will begin to desire it. Just as because you know about Eba, you can desire Eba. Just as because you know fish and chips, you can desire fish and chips. But you don't know Tanquantan, so you can't desire Tanquantan. In the same way, Satan will put immorality there. It doesn't matter. One day, he knows what he has put there. One day, will come to them. Hey. Or you turn on the telly.
You're telling from morning to heaven. It's about people shooting themselves. This one, karate, yaga. How you guys see me? And one day you see your child just begin to say, chuku, chuku. You know, all it takes one day is for somebody in his school to offend him. He will just go, yeah. And you'll be amazed. Are we hearing me? This is why the enemy, right from the time a person is in the womb, he begins to work on their mind. He begins to load their mind with so many things. Praise the Lord. And to get rid of it, you have to go back to your foundation, which talks about the identity of who you are. You started knowing nothing, but the first thing you know is about who you are. The first thing given to you was an identity name. In life, everybody starts with identity. The day you arrived, you didn't know yourself, but that day they gave you a name. And you didn't give yourself, somebody put it on you, boom. And that begin to control your life for the rest of your life. Amen. There was a man in the Bible, they called him fool. And he was a fool until God changed his name. I'm telling you. Abraham was Abraham, an exalted father. Why should he be? He needed to be a humble father to be a father to all nations. God had to change his name because it was directing his life. Identities are connected to action. It is a powerful thing, identity. And all your identities is in our mind. And to walk in the spirit and walk in his flesh is talking about what Paul did here. Ignoring what we were before. Daily coming against it. Praise the Lord. We always read it every day. In the new man, there is neither Jew nor Greek. It is not to make us happy. It is a reality of deliverance. Because if you don't start from there, you will still be struggling with something in your flesh. Praise the Lord. I've seen the most holy preachers. I won't mention his name. Holy preachers in days of old. Suddenly, this father that he too is committing one sin or the other. One man of God, general, very powerful man of God. Suddenly, he's an homosexual. Praise the Lord. It wasn't his fault. It's a struggle like any other person. It was already there, but the means of dealing with it was not. So it is not about what we say, it is about what is in the mind. Praise the Lord. Poverty is in the mind. Sickness is in the mind. Some people's sickness today is as a result of the sickness that is in the bloodline. Or everybody in that family has that same sickness. Praise God. And all it takes for you to be part of it is to identify yourself. And said, this is who I am. The blood said, yeah, amen. But what does the word of God do? The word of God goes through. It divides your spirit and soul. Yeah? Separates your spirit from your soul so your spirit is free. It separates your joint and what? Marrow. You know what marrow is? Marrow is a cell in the blood. Marrow is what is transferred from one generation to another generation. So when I take the identity of the word of God and I take it in and it goes into my spirit, it goes into the, and it separates the marrow. The marrow which contains generational, you know, all your great-great-grandfather as they were having children, it was transfer, producing blood. Amen. And Bible says when we got born again, we were not born of blood. We were not born of will, but we were born of God. So the word of God separates that area. It goes through and separates. Praise the Lord. And because of that separation, we find ourselves coming up, living out something different, like Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus, help us. Lord Jesus, help us. Lord Jesus, help us. But as for us, as believers born again, you are justified. But when you say that you are justified, does your mind believe you are justified? Your mind says no. Your mind says, no, you are not justified. Your mind is like the mind of Adam. God was coming to him. He was running away. What was pursuing him? Where are you, Adam? I'm hiding away. Why? He didn't say, because I've sinned against you. He didn't even mention God. He said, because I'm afraid. I saw that I am naked. I saw that it's all about I have been something changed in him. Self-judgmental keeps him away. From that day, man does not expect anything good from God. Praise the Lord. But now we want to bring the knowledge of a new kind of life, which is a justified life.
Praise God. Jesus, help us. And the proof that we are walking in this is that we are walking in forgiveness. Forgiveness to others. Forgiveness and showing mercy to other people. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray right now in the name